So good to be here this morning. And Nigel and Andrea, 25 years ago, well, over 25 years ago now, we sent you out. You didn't just go, we sent you from our church. And fabulous, sending people out to plant churches. So why Fremantle? Of all the places you could have gone, why Fremantle?
So I think it's God's humour. Well, it's not, I think. I know it's God's humour. So I've actually got a photo of a friend. She's the one in the wheelchair. And this is my friend, Maria. And we worked together when I first left school. We worked together for the government. And Maria lived in Fremantle. She was born and bred in Fremantle. And I remember she told me that she lived in Fremantle. And I said to her, oh, who'd want to live in Fremantle? And we stayed great friends throughout the last 30 years. But, you know, after that time, I remember, you know, always reflecting back on that. But it was actually a prophetic word in church, in your church, saying about Fremantle. And Nigel and I just knew that that's where God wanted us to go. Wow. And I think, you know, God loves to push us out of our comfort zone. We were white, middle-class, suburban people who came to Fremantle, which was at that time, Fremantle was crazy 25 years ago. We had the Rush Nishis that would go down the street. We had the Wicker Church. So we had one of the head warlocks that used to pray against us. Yeah, it came to church.
We'll get another mic for Nige, please.
And yeah, it was just lost the battery.
Thanks,
on that one.
Thanks, Dom. We'll use yours.
So it was a crazy time, but you know, we fell in love with this crazy town, and it was an opportunity for us to, you know, I think what Jared said is so true, that he had no choice in the matter. And so I've got a photo of Jared, and he came to, I'm not sure if you guys have got that next, the photos next. And he came down here when he came with us at 9 months old, and your kids don't get to choose where they go. Here he is. So what a little cutie. He was dressed for church. So, and you know, we got to raise our children in this crazy town, and I've got a couple of other photos if you want to keep going through. Here was us. This is, we would pray around this is actually in around East Fremantle. We would sit and we would pray around the city. And so here, Jared went with us everywhere. He had no choice. And, you know, we got the privilege of raising our children. And I've got a couple more if you want to just flick through. Here was Blackwall Reach, and Nige was taking Jared out for a paddle. And, you know, we just explored this city and just ended up falling in love with it. And I think I've got a couple more. And then Sarah came along. She had no choice. And so here she is again, getting ready for church. And then this is one of actually Alexander and Jordan and Jared. And, you know, our children, it wasn't just about pastoring a church, but it was actually living our life and developing friendships and raising our children in this crazy town. And so they had many wonderful memories of this place called Fremantle. And I think there might just be one more. And this is a special photo because it's actually out the front of our neighbours. And when you invest in a city, you invest in a town, and this was our elderly neighbours who became grandparents in a way to our children. And Jared and Sarah actually got to share God's love with our neighbours, and our neighbour, Evelyn, they led her to Christ in a hospital bed. And she never left God, never left loving God after that moment. And she lived for another 10 years. So this is our town, and this is us growing up in it, raising our family.
It's awesome. And Jared shared that, you know, you both could have had different careers, could have done business, whatever. Nigel, what caused you to become a pastor?
Good question. Oh. This mic's not working either.
You're so electric this morning.
All right, I've got Andrea's, it's all good. we wanted to become pastors because we wanted to share God's love with people that are particularly here at Fremantle. There wasn't, as some of you would know already, that there wasn't a church in Frio. that was like us, and we actually heard the there was some words back at our home church when you were our pastor, at which was then North City, now C3 Hepburn Heights, and it was about 6 months, and it just resonated with us that Andrew and I being a little bit unusual, I guess, in the sense that we don't mind doing things that seem impossible, but we had great faith in our God that he would get the job done. And so through a lot of perseverance and some good friends that are still with us today, we have been able to achieve those things. And I think the truth is that you're very green when you start out. I think I was 30 years old. And you think you can take on the world, and that's just how God wants you to be, because otherwise you wouldn't do it.
So true, so true. I think when you planted church, and I remember we sent you out with a team and an overhead projector, and back in the day, back when overhead projectors were the go, and it was really, and we were in the early stages of planting churches as a church. We didn't know what we were doing. We'd planted a church in Bunbury a few years before, and then you guys were part of the pathway of us working out how to plant a church, and did take tremendous courage and perseverance with it all. What do you love about your church? Now, one church in two locations, you have a magnificent charity. What do you love about your church? What stands out for you?
Well, the people. I mean, it's a community.
Who's your favourite member? correct answer. She tells everyone that, Charlie.
I think it's the people. I think, you know, I showed you those photos before of the kids, and it's about doing life. And I think it's John Wesley who says that your parish is your community. And so, you know, we had a 9-month-old son, and we just raised him in our community and loved that about Fremantle. We came, the weirdness and the eclecticness, we came to love. Like, we are so glad that God sent us to this town. And so what do I love? I love everything. I love the people. I love, you know, I said last night we had a dinner with the pastors, and I said that, you know, I have received more than I've ever given. Wow. I think that, you know, the Bible says that God's goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. And I just feel so blessed. And I've received so much, and I've learnt so much from this church. And I think I've learnt so much about God's goodness and God's grace. I think particularly around myself, you know, Nigel and I were very much about getting the job done. But God, and it sounds a bit of a cliche, but it was never about what we did. It was always about who we are and who we're becoming. Yeah. And yeah. So the church and the people have helped me. And they've helped me because they've loved me. You have loved me unconditionally. You have liked me. Not everyone likes me, but you have liked
me. Oh, that's not true. Yes. We all like
you. I would say from a characteristic point of view that we've endeavoured to create authentic Christians, real Christians, superficial, and I'd rather just be dinky die about where we're at and work with you from where you're at than make up some sort of story that doesn't help. And so I think also that we are overcoming as a church. We are, as another characteristic, we step out above probably our weight and the amount of people that we have to do things that God has allowed us to do remarkable things. Yeah. We do punch above our weight, and I think that's a real strength of our church. And those especially who have been with us for a number of years, you would know that. And it's just, it's a blessing that you have followed Andrea and I through some really, like, crazy things. Why don't we do that? You know, and God's allowed us to do it as we've put pen to paper and planned, not just done it. But yeah, it's been amazing.
You have done incredible things. You have a building here, C3 Fremantle. C3 Wellard has its own building. There's not another C3 church in the globe that I'm aware of that has multiple locations, that has planted those locations, and where both locations own a building. There may have been churches that have merged and they've had a building come into their organisation, but I don't know another C3 church in the globe that's done this. Now, I can be corrected on that, but I think that's worthy. And that comes down to your leadership and your vision and your faith, but also it comes to a board and a staff and a congregation that follows that leadership and leans into that faith and with courage and with resourcing and giving it and so on. So it's quite remarkable when you consider that in our movement of 500 plus churches that you've done something that no one else has pulled off yet. Others will get there and do that. All right, I'm going to really restrict you now. Two words that describe your church. You can have two each. I'm very generous.
Multicultural.
Okay, I'll take that as one. That's good. Hyphenated. Well done.
And generous.
Oh, how do I outdo those two? Authentic and faith-filled.
And I think it's a great reflection of you. Yeah, another round of applause. Keep clapping every answer. I think it'll just keep that party rolling. I love those words. Multicultural, generous, authentic and faith-filled. Again, another hyphenated word. You guys, they know how to get an extra word in, don't they? You see that? Pastor's gift. Poor care is a huge part of your legacy. It's something that's come out of your heart for people who are poor, refugees, needy people, migrants, people in dire straits. As if starting a church wasn't enough, you decide to start a charity. And not just some little dinky thing down the road, you know, a little op shop with three coats and a couple of bits of bacon and eggs we heard earlier. What on earth possessed you to start a charity that has grown into something significant for over 20 years in this community? What possessed you to start Port Care?
It was really around, at the time, again, 25 years ago, Fremantle had a dual economy. So we had incredible wealth, but we also had a very poor population and transient population, and we had one of the lowest median wages in the state. And so it was really quite interesting. And so I actually, part of it is my heritage from my mum, who ran an op shop for 25 years. I think it's in my DNA. And we'd actually often swap stories. But I think it was wanting to, Port Care's always been about meet a need, change a life. And I think for me it was like, there's plenty of good works out there. There's plenty of charities. There's plenty of, great social groups. But I wanted people to experience Christ through that. I wanted that, through the transaction of food or through the transaction of, practical support, that they would actually feel the love of Christ. And so I'm a visionary, but I'm not a person that's very good at staying the course with some of those projects. And so, I really want to honour Pastor Charlie today because he has taken it to an absolute another level. And I always used to joke with Charlie because Charlie and I, we used to have some really cracking meetings, weekly meetings. He'd very passionate Italian. So we would often butt heads, but in a way because we were both passionate about the cause. But I used to always say to Charlie, he's an evangelist. He gets paid to go to work and do what he loves. I mean, that's the best job in the world, in my opinion. But, I think he's done a phenomenal job in taking it where it needs to be. And, Jesus said, the least of these. And I have just loved that part of the journey, just being with those that society often overlooks. And it's been one of my greatest pleasures.
It's awesome. And it is a remarkable part of your legacy. So you plant a church, you get rolling with a charity, Port Care, and then you get this building, which is a remarkable miracle in itself. And got a bit bored and decided to start a childcare centre, Nigel. You felt like, I haven't quite done enough yet with my life. So you launched it. Is it 100 place childcare centre?
87, is it?
84.
84.
It's What's dropping by the minute.
Kids?
It's 80-something.
80-something.
Amazing childcare centre in the building out there. If you're not aware of it, you might have walked past it coming here.
So we started with $30,000 in the bank when we offered. We put an offer on this building, which was worth $2.1 million.
And, it requires a little bit of faith just to that gap between 30 we had and some, how much was it worth?
2.1 they had it on the table for.
2.1, you had 30K in the bank.
30,000.
And you thought you'd have a crack at it.
Absolutely.
That's remarkable.
It's actually Julian that saw it, didn't he?
And some of the people that have come today would remember what we did. We asked we had 11 families actually. We had about 40 or 50 people at the time. And we had...
So you got 40, 50 people, you got 30K in the bank and you think buying a 2.1 million building is a brilliant idea.
That's right.
I think we're all just as silly as each other. I mean, we were. Neil and Grace. How many buildings, how many walls did we paint?
The idea was that we would... we needed a business plan. Yep. And that business plan was to start a childcare centre that could then appease the bank. It wasn't really that we wanted a childcare centre, it was just that we wanted the church in Fremantle, but we needed a plan.
Long way to get there. Yep.
So we did that with a lot of interesting feedback from the community, but we got there. We were front page news, toxic childcare centre and all sorts of things. It's amazing what the devil does to try and make things not happen when you're building something that's significant for people's lives, for their future.
Yep.
And for eternity.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's something that I really enjoy. Mm. As much as it's make it tough. And it's just part of my DNA. There's just no other way to explain it. You've known me long enough, John, and the people that have served with me for so long. And then we asked the church, because we still come up short about, I think it was $400,000. And Greg Moore will remember. And so what we decided, he's just as mad as me, by the way. He's definitely smarter, but but he's crazy too. And and so we decided $20,000, just add $20,000 to your mortgage in units. So we had 11 families. And some of the members actually gave in from their superannuation, which I'll never forget. Mm. And you've been an absolute blessing that we've done this. And in fact, we should salute Neil and Grace for what they've done in helping us in that respect.
Amazing couple.
And we raised 460, I think it was about 460,000, about that, Greg? $1,000.
And, so people bought a unit as an investment into the childcare centre that you would pay back with a return.
That's right.
Very smart.
Yeah, and we did. And we kept to our plan. We sold the childcare. So we started the childcare centre, Andrea, Caroline and another lady, and didn't sleep for about 3 years. And and we on-sold that childcare centre and were able then to pay our investors back. Some of the people decided to gift that money, and it is how we established owning this facility.
You borrowed a little bit of money from us as well.
That's right. $200,000 from C3 Hepburn Heights, just a little bit. Thank you for reminding me. I knew you weren't going
to
forget.
Had to get it in there.
Did we pay it back?
You paid it back, absolutely.
No paid problem. It back in 1 year, if I remember correctly.
Well, I can't remember, but I know we got the money back.
So, and who knows that you need people who believe in you like John Fincaldi. Oh,
yeah. Sure. Yeah. I think, the famous saying, it takes a village. It just right. takes a community, doesn't it, of faith right. to do these things, and takes people who are out there to lead, and then it takes your and this is always interesting to me, crazy but looking sane people like Greg who are there as well backing you in it. It's a fabulous journey. And so as the church grew, And you came here, a magnificent building, church was growing, childcare centre. Obviously got a little bit bored again and thought, let's do some missions. And let's do missions in Austria and Italy. That'd be fabulous. I think you just had on your heart C3 Vienna, I know. And then Sierra Leone and Liberia. I mean, could you pick a harder part of the world to do missions in? You guys just seem to keep fronting up for. Why? I've got to ask, why on earth West Africa?
Honey, this is yours for sure.
I've got a photo of Susan Pitar, my dear friend Susan. Here she is. So Susan's here today. She's at the back, my beautiful friend. So it came out of the charity. We were working with people that had been displaced as a result of war, and Sierra Leone at the time was the government on people were coming in on humanitarian visas. So a lot of people that are displaced, they find community in church. And so we had a lot of Sierra Leoneans come into the church, and then as a result of that civil war, it spilled into different countries, and it was involved Liberia as well. And then I met Susan, and Susan came over in 2006, and I used to pick Susan up for church and her children.
You used to pick her up?
Yeah, I used to pick her up every
Sunday.
You're
the pastor of the church, yeah, and you're going around and pick someone
she's
up.
She's a remarkable lady and very close friend. That's awesome. And so then a few years later, in 2009, she wanted to go back and visit. But I'd felt God speak to me about I'd go to Sierra Leone. I've not been there yet, but other people from our church have been, which is quite interesting. And she asked me to go back with her, not for great reasons, but she was scared. And she thought for some reason it would be better if I went with her.
You'd be taking Nigel, wouldn't you? I mean,
you would have thought so. I don't know what she thought I would do, but it was actually quite hilarious. And then Nigel was very worried because at the time Westerners were getting kidnapped because there was no economy, so people were being kidnapped. And Sarah, our daughter, she also wanted to go, and she was 12 at the time, and Nigel's like, absolutely not going to happen.
And you wouldn't stand out at all in West Africa, right?
So, but the crazy thing was that we ended up going, and Sarah came as well. And
you and Sarah.
Sarah and I and Susan. We were like, it was just like we were the worst combination. We were just, it was crazy. But the thing that the humorous side of it was that because people weren't visiting West Africa because of the, you know, it had years of civil war.
And 10 years of civil war.
So people weren't visiting it. So when they saw Sarah and I, they just thought we were part of the UN. So they'd stop on the side of the road and offer us lifts places. We even got offered to go on a free flight from Liberia into Guinea, but I declined that one. And because there was a lot of unrest in Guinea at the time. But when I got to Liberia with Susan, we had the funniest time. Three sleeping in a bed. It was just hilarious times. We had hilarious time. But I remember I was praying there and I said, Lord, what am I doing here? I always wanted to go to Sierra Leone. And God said, there's so much to do here. I mean, we were in a country that had no running water, no electricity. Everything had been demolished except one building. And I just, you know, you don't need to go far to find something to do. And West Africa was wild. It's just the best and craziest place because on the east it's colonised. It's all very nice. But on the west, besides Ghana, it's, you know, it's pretty crazy. And I loved that about it.
So Andrea comes back and said, and I said, so are we going to do something? What do you think we should do? And there was two men. And I we had to make a decision. And I says, well, who's the evangelist? And it ended up being Pastor Colley, who you saw, the big man. And there was another guy. And he was going into politics or something. And he was smarter. But I just thought, Pastor Colley's our man. And through Pastor Colley and his connections with Pastor Contessin, who you also saw from C3 Kakata, we were able to establish. We actually had five locations. And we've now got four, but the school has 325 kids in it.
Wow.
And they've gone to year 10, I believe. We've managed.
Applause for that. That is remarkable. Remarkable.
The school wouldn't be running if we didn't support the staff. Wow. So through our missions here, we call it Leap into Spring, the staff get paid every month. And we've been doing that for years and years now. and the whole community, because of that, the whole community, of course, is being blessed that live around the school.
And that's important to us. It's very much about, it's always been our vision, that practical as well as that spiritual, meeting the need, changing the life. And so, you know, we know that you change a society through education. And one of the things we said about we've actually got another school, a little school on the border, is we said that 50% of those children that went to school had to be girls because, again, often it's the boy that will go to school and not the girl. And we knew that if we could get the girls into school, that would also empower them. So it's been an amazing journey. I've actually got another photo of... and then after that, I'll just really quickly say one thing is then it was the Philippines. So Louis and Juliet. And these are divine connections, you know. Louis and Juliet... I don't know if you asked us or I invited myself along, but there's a photo of Sarah and myself. And we went to the Philippines. And again, just those divine connections and just falling in love with a culture. And this was actually up in the mountains with the indigenous people. And, you know, and I think that's been one of the greatest joys for me is my children that have... Jared never wanted to go anywhere. He just wanted to stay in Perth. And he was like, nah. And we finally got him to the Philippines and it changed his life. But Sarah was, you know, I think that's what we don't realise, that there are disadvantages in every job of the parents, you know. And my good friends Paul and Nicole talked about, you know, they worked weekends. And so, but there's advantages, and one of the advantages for us has been that our children have been able to capture our heart, and Sarah's very passionate about, you know, social justice issues, which has just been amazing.
As you come to the end of a... Yes, more. I'm happy. Clap all the time. As the sun sets on an era for the church and for your life, 25 years, what do you see as your legacy?
I think we are leaving facilities for the generations to come. Yeah. I think that's significant in the times that we're living in, where there's a place of life for people to know that there's hope and a future for them, which is why we started in the first place. I think, too, that just... you can't, over 25 years, there's certain things that stick. There is a spirit of salvation on the house of God here. Yeah. And Dom Sonique should be thanked a million times for leading with a CD for 5 years to Darlene Check. Wherever yes, you are, Dom.
The CD man.
But because of that, I believe that there is a, you know, how through sacrifice God's created something that's quite unique here in this house. Yeah, and so I believe that worship will continue to change lives and break shackles off people's lives here at Frio and Wellart. And I think once Stephen and Anami find their feet, can you please give them some time? But I am confident, more than confident, that Stephen and Anami will step out and we'll see other things happen and forge ahead again as a local church.
So good, darling.
Legacy.
Oh, legacy. I think for me, I want my legacy to be that I... pointed people towards Christ in some small way. And I think the other thing is that when you look at us, you think, well, if they can do it, we definitely can do it. Just about that just staying the course. I think for me, the legacy is people looking at Nige and I. And, you know, when you're in a church community of our size, everyone knows, you know, we're like a family. And I think it's like, they've seen the highs and lows in our marriage, but we've stayed the course. They've seen the challenges we've had raising our children and our imperfections as parents, but we've stayed the course and raised our kids. We've stayed the course with Christ, even though there's times where, you know, we've doubted ourselves and we've, you know, questioned God about certain things that have happened. My prayer and my legacy is that people will look and say, it's worth staying the course because Christ is amazing.
Amazing. What is what are you going to do over the next few months? You won't be pastoring. What are you going to do?
Allow Stephen and Unami time to lead the church.
Yeah.
And that requires, and it's very crucial, I believe, that we have a break from church so that Stephen and Unami can really cement their leadership. And so we're going to take the rest of the year off. You can call it long service leave. And just refresh. Hit the refresh button.
Yep.
And give ourselves time just to chill and love on each other, but also reinvent ourselves. We're both working in secular jobs now. And so it's going to take some time, obviously, to get used to doing that. And yeah, that's probably it for me.
Cool. Got a couple of photos. It's pretty obvious. And I think there's one baby. More. Yeah.
That's Florence, our six-month-old now.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
It was amazing. It's amazing how God will use the natural for the spiritual. So when Sarah, we weren't expecting Sarah to have a baby so soon after she got married. And it was like God said, it's time to be the spiritual grandparents of the church. You know, grandparents are completely different. They're just completely different. They love, they spoil, they can just have fun. And that's what we want to do now. I say to people that analogy of, you know, Nigel and I are Christians. We were Christians before we were pastors. We love Christ. We love the local church. And we planned to do that. But we're just sitting on a different seat on the bus. Stephen and Unami are driving the bus now. We're quite happy. We thought we might sit at the back and be naughty, but we'll just, you know. And so I think for us it's about just, like Nigel said, refreshing and then just enjoying this next season and really asking God, what does he want for this next season for us? You know, we don't feel that we might not be pastoring, but
sure.
Like I said, we love the local church. So what does that look like for us moving forward?
Final word of advice to your congregation as you finish as their senior pastors.
No matter the challenges or the struggles that you're facing in life, God's got you.
And my final words would be, I just want to say thank you to you. You have been incredible, and I see so many faces of people I love here today, and there's some that couldn't make it today, but I just want to thank you for believing in Nigel and I and staying the journey. And Nigel and I were thinking, like, Dom, I can't, the only word we can think of with Dom is faithful. Beautiful. Helen Ricardo, we were thinking 25 years and she's never criticised. As I said, you have given us more than we've ever given you, and all I can say is thank you for the privilege of being your pastors for the last 25 years. We love you. Thank you.
Stay there. We want to thank you for your love, faith, perseverance and courage over the last 25 years and all that you've done for the community. We appreciate you and love you guys heaps.
Well, before we finish up, we need to do something very special. Please, Stephen and Unami, please come up. And if the board, if you could come join me. Mr. Parker, please come and join us, you shy thing, you. And Greg. And we just wanted to do this officially now that it's D-Day. We've already ordained you, but we do need to just pray you in. And so we're happy to do that together now. Just move this chair out of the way a bit. I'll just stand behind you. Let's just lay our hands on these guys, board members, please. That'd be great. Lord, we thank you that you had and you knew that Stephen and Unami and their family would come into our world at just the right time. And we thank you, Lord, right now for the passing on of the mantle of senior ministry and of the responsibility of running C3 Fremantle, Wellard, the charity, all the overseeing that is required for all these organisations, including the childcare. We thank you for the grace of God on them both right now. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Fill them afresh. Thank you, Lord.
Father, I just pray that Elisha did greater things than Elijah. It would be my prayer, God, that they will do greater things because it's for your glory. I pray for this couple. I pray, God, that the dreams that they have in their heart will be so different to what our dreams are, and I celebrate that. I celebrate their uniqueness and their difference, and I pray, God, that over these next few years, Lord, they would just love building the local church. Bless them, I pray. Their children, I pray for this next season, God. You'll bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Fantastic.
Take your seats, and I'll just say a few remarks before we dive into the delicious lunch. You see, we're all on a prophetic journey, and what we all don't realize is that yes, it's Unami and I was, in fact, it was Pastor Nigel and Andrea, and then it's Unami, Magwenzi, and myself. You see, Saul. In 1 Samuel, it says that Saul was on a journey to look for lost donkeys. Yet he did not realize that God was preparing him and was preparing the prophet Samuel for him to be king. You see, all of us here are on a convergence. We are converging where God is taking us on a journey of discovery of the things that he wants us to do with our lives. And so we take this assignment with the utmost humility, and it's a scary proposition, you know. Nevertheless, I think that some of the things that, you know, we're excited, you know, and very scared at the same time. But I reflect on my grandmother, you know, how I wish my grandmother was here. Because my grandmother spoke about this day. My grandfather is got dementia, and he can't understand, you know, the complexity of what's taking place. But last week I had the opportunity when I called and he recognized who I was. And in that moment I told him, I said, next week there's something significant that's happening. And he was like, oh, you know, the oohs and the ahs. And was like, oh, that's great, you know. But immediately, 30 seconds later, he was talking about, you know, so which fields do you want us to plant, you know. And so he lost it very quickly, you know. And so I have this scripture in Ephesians, and this is Paul talking, and he says that, and this is Ephesians 3, chapter 67. He says, and this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Jesus, to Christ Jesus. By God's grace, and this is verse number 7, and mighty power, we have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. And that's really that it's us, but it's all of us. You know, that I really believe strongly that, and you know the church, I've said this many times, that we were not placed in Fremantle and in Wellard for just for fun. And I sincerely believe at the bottom of my heart that we are on a prophetic journey. You know, and I'm amazed that Saul went out looking for donkeys. But what he got was significantly more than the donkeys, you know. And so we thank you so much for joining us this morning. And I just want to say to Pastor Nigel and Andrea, funny thing is that when he met me for the first time, he thought I was a waiter, you know. I don't know, maybe I've got a servant, you know, servant is written on me. But anyway, you know, it was in a restaurant. So we're supposed to meet. And so he probably looked at me, I looked at him, and he thought he's probably one of the. But we thank you and we salute you. You know, that you don't know. You see, the things that when you left now Hepburn Heights all those years ago, the story is not finished. You know. What has happened is that the baton has changed hands, you know, and this is going to continue on and continue on and continue on. So please put your hands together for Pastor Nigel and Andrew. And it would be remiss of me not to say this, you know, that for your children, you know, we applaud them, you know, for... And I really like Jared's honest assessment, you know, and the key thing, I hope that one day my children will stand up and say similar things about me, because there is no better testimony than when you win your own house. You can win the world and save everybody else, but you lose your own house. And the fact that your children have stood behind you all these years, to Sarah, we salute you in Adelaide, and for Mr. Jared, we thank you very much. Please put your hands together for Jared. So finally, on behalf of Ms. Unami and myself, we thank you very much, and Pastor Charlie will say grace and then we'll have lunch.